The Lord be with you. Would you please pray with me? Father God, we pray your Spirit would stir in us the life of Jesus today. And Lord, that you would stir in us a bubbling anticipation of how we can be your witnesses in our time and share the good news and love of Jesus with the people you bring across our path day by day. Let your will be done today and in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, let me ask you a question that always challenges me. How many of you enjoy waiting? Hands up. Oh, bless you. You must have a special anointing from God. I confess to you, my brothers and sisters, that I'm not very good at it. I like to get into things and on with things. And being a little bit of a control freak, I get a bit frustrated and cranky when there are unexpected or unexplained delays. Does anybody resonate with that? Put your hand up. Oh, it makes me feel a lot better that I'm not the only one. In waiting, though, we quickly realise we're not in control of the universe, yeah? And in waiting, that can remind us to turn to God and trust in his perfect timing. You know, God is always on time. God is never, ever late. And God has a right time for everything under heaven. Just think about the birth of a baby. Can't rush it. Just got to wait. All in God's good time. And today we'll see God's perfect timing when his church is born at Pentecost. Friends, I don't think the disciples of Jesus were quite knew. I don't think they quite knew what to expect when they were waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. And just for a few minutes, I'd like you to put yourselves in their sandals as they followed Jesus up to Jerusalem that very last time. So we go on in the clock back about 7 or 8 weeks. Yep. The disciples have been with Jesus for 3 years. They'd done life with Jesus. They had listened to his amazing stories about the kingdom of God. They had watched his miracles of healing, of raising the dead, of casting out demons, even hushing a raging storm. The disciples had been sent out by Jesus on some short-term ministry assignments, and Jesus gave them his authority to preach and to heal and to cast out demons. So as they came into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday, remember that story? The crowds are going nuts about Jesus. And I can imagine the disciples getting pretty excited in their sandals going, oh goody, Jesus is going to come and he's going to take over and he's going to be the king of Jerusalem, the king of Israel and the king of the world. That means no more Romans and he will appoint us to be his chief ministers in his new government. How good is this? Sorry about that. But within a few days, the temple heavies arrest Jesus and the Romans stick him onto a cross as a criminal. And the disciples go into hiding and other people take his body down from the cross and give him a quick burial in a borrowed tomb. But on the third day, what happened? He what? Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Thank you. There you go, Dan. It can be done. He is risen indeed. And over the next 40 days, he kept appearing to his disciples, proving that he was alive and well. He kept hanging out with them and teaching them about the kingdom until he ascended into heaven. And shortly before that, Jesus makes it clear that what's next for them will be much different from their cherished ambitions of personal glory. We read on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait. Wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Jesus had talked about the Holy Spirit before his death. He said, oh, I'm going to be going away, but when I go away, I'm going to send you the gift of the advocate, the comforter, the counselor, the Holy Spirit. And the disciples were familiar with the work of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, how the Holy Spirit had come on kings, on prophets and priests. God's gift of the Holy Spirit was his power and presence to carry out his plans and purposes in God's world. They also knew in their Old Testament that there are a bunch of promises there that one day this gift of the Holy Spirit wouldn't just be for a few people, but God would pour it out on all his people. And Jesus knows that is soon going to happen. And that's why he tells them, hey, wait, there's more. Wait for the gift my Father promised. You'll know it when it comes. Waiting. I reckon the disciples, when they heard these words of Jesus, were thinking, oh, okay. When the Spirit comes, then this whole deal that Jesus talked about might come, you know, that we've been expecting Jesus to do, maybe that'll come about then somehow. Because they say this, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times and dates the Father has set by his own authority. In other words, forget about your plans. Forget about your agendas. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You'll be my witnesses to Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, to the ends of the earth. In other words, wait, 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 and you will receive power. Not to fulfill your own personal agendas, but to carry out my restoration plan. You will go throughout the world telling people what I've said and done, so this good news of what I've done can get to all people of all nations. But wait. Reflection question. As disciples of Jesus today, do we expect God to give us comfort and glory on earth? Now, God, gimme, gimme, gimme. Or do we see ourselves as called by Jesus to join in his restoration plan? And does Jesus' commission inspire you or terrify you or a bit of both? I wonder what the first disciples thought about this commission of Jesus. Oh, hey, Jesus, it's great you've risen back from the dead and you can hang out with us. This is fantastic. But Jesus, how on earth are we supposed to do this commission that you want to send us to the ends of the earth now that you're going? How are we supposed to communicate with people groups who don't share our culture, our traditions, our languages? Why would foreigners bother listening to us country hick Jews? And Jesus, weren't trying to do that get us in lots of trouble? I bet they had lots of questions. But what does Jesus say? Wait. Wait, there's more. And when the Holy Spirit comes, your questions will all be resolved. In other words, you cannot do this work in your own strength or by your own brilliance or with your best intentions. If you try that, you will fail miserably, because Jesus says, hey, fellas, this is my mission. And in order to carry out my mission, you will need my power and my presence. And that's why you must wait for the gift my Father promised. That's why you must wait for the Holy Spirit. So after Jesus went to heaven, they waited. Waiting, waiting, waiting. Until the Holy Spirit turns up on the festival of Pentecost. Now let me give you a bit of background about Pentecost. Pentecost was a Jewish festival that had been celebrated for hundreds of years. It's also called the Feast of Weeks. The Feast of Weeks. 50 days after the first sheaf was cut in the harvest and offered up to God, 50 days, get to the end of harvest and they have a harvest Thanksgiving festival, the Festival of Weeks. And if you are a Jewish male, you are obliged to come to that feast. And so in Jerusalem at the time, there's not just the people of Israel, but Jews from all over the world have come to celebrate this big festival. God knew the right time and the right place to broadcast the good news of Jesus to the world. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes in spectacular fashion. It says a violent wind. Now, it's not just a little breeze, a violent, powerful wind that makes everything tremble. Tongues of fire appearing above the disciples. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. All of them. They were no longer afraid. They had courage like they'd never had before. They didn't care what other people thought of them. They spontaneously got up and spoke the works of God to the crowds around them in languages they had never known before, but languages that connected with all the people in the crowd. And it got the crowd's attention. And they all came and go, what on earth is going on? And the Holy Spirit gave Peter grace and wisdom to declare Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God. This Jesus was sent by God to you as your promised Messiah. But you killed him. You rejected him. Hand him into Pilate. But God raised him to life again. And God has exalted him as both Messiah and Lord of all. And the proof is the pouring out of the Holy Spirit you see today. And the people were cut to the heart. Can you remember a time when the Word of God just cut you to the heart? And you desperately realized your need for forgiveness and mercy and favor. And you realized that Jesus was your only answer. And Jesus was your only hope. Friends, that is the work of the Holy Spirit in you and in me. They repented. They received Jesus. They were baptized and given the Holy Spirit. And on that day, 3,000 people went home with God's assurance that their sins were forgiven and they had a hope and a future together with Jesus. With the gift of the Holy Spirit, these disciples kept witnessing to Jesus, explaining the significance of his death and resurrection, in spite of threats, beatings, imprisonments, dangerous circumstances, getting run out of town, and even death. They would not shut up about Jesus. And the good news of that is the good news has come and rippled through the nations of the world and has rippled down through history to us today. Is that good? Thank God for those faithful disciples and thank God for the gift of the Spirit. Now, I've got some reflection questions that I address to myself as well here. What's happened to the passion of Jesus or passion for Jesus so evident in the early church? If God has given us the answers to the hurts and hopes of humanity in Jesus, why is there such apathy among us in sharing Jesus with others? Just think about this. If you had the cure for cancer and someone else had cancer, don't you think they'd want to know that? If you know the source of forgiveness and abundant life with God, don't you think some other people need to know that too? When Jesus offers so much to all people, why are we so reluctant to mention the name of Jesus in our everyday conversations? How is it we can talk about crows and pork pie till the cows come home? About the stuff we do on the weekends, about our finances, about our families. We can talk ad nauseum about that. Is our passion for Jesus equal to that? I hang my head in shame. If a friend genuinely asked you, hey, you're a Christian, what's so special about Jesus? Could you quietly and gently just tell that person what Jesus has done for you and what Jesus is doing in your life at the moment. And perhaps you're sitting there right now thinking, but Rolly, I'm not called to do that. That's your job. Let me respond to that. As far as I can tell, Jesus pours out his Holy Spirit on all his people. Yes? Since every person who trusts and follows Jesus has the Holy Spirit, and since through baptism we are joined together in the body of Christ, then every believer has some part to play in Jesus' ongoing work in this world. You may not be an evangelist, but you can encourage people and pray for people. You may not be a pastor, but you can listen to people and help people and serve people. I believe it's absolute nonsense to claim to be a disciple of Jesus and refuse to participate in his restoration plans for the world. How does that sit with you? What if God wanted to do more in you? What if God wanted to do more with you and through you than you ever anticipated or thought possible? Would you be open to that or closed to that? But wait, there's more. You know, God isn't finished with us yet. And yes, we are participating in the same mission Jesus gave his first disciples, because there is salvation in no one else. There is no other name given under heaven except Jesus by which we must be saved. And just like the first disciples, our participation in God's restoration plan can only happen by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. You see, only the Holy Spirit can renew our hearts and produce in us lives that are consistent with Jesus. Only the Holy Spirit can move us out of our fear zone and just give us a joyful confidence to spontaneously talk about the things of God with others. And only the Holy Spirit can keep us persevering in that in spite of troubles and trials and heartaches and bad circumstances. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. You know, people sometimes ask, oh, how can we get more of the Holy Spirit? I think a much better question is this: how can the Holy Spirit have more of us? We know the Holy Spirit works on us with the Word, through the Word of God, as we hear it, read it, talk about it, reflect on it, pray it. We know the Spirit of God is active in baptism and in the Lord's Supper. And yet Jesus also urges us to ask. If you then, you know, you ratbag parents, if you then, you know how to give good gifts to your kids, yes? Anyone want to give bad gifts to their kids? If you know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? That's Jesus' promise, yes? So I reckon we ought to ask every day. And I reckon it's probably a good idea to ask in every endeavour that we pursue in life. So I'm going to invite you to join in doing that right now. I'm going to have a little prayer in pairs. I'm not going to get you to come to the front. If you don't want to do this, just quietly close your eyes and fold your hands in your lap. But I invite you just to get together with someone. You might want to stay where you are. You might want to get across your seat. The last church I was in, people just got together in the aisles. Wherever, just get in pairs. Put your arm on a person, gently on a person's arm or shoulder, and then just pray for each other. 10-second prayer. Father, please fill Jane or John with your Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Amen. And then change over to you. It'll take all of 1 minute. Fabulous. Let me finish with just a closing prayer. Dear Father, thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit, who has opened our hearts and minds to your Son, Jesus. Jesus, we thank you that you not only conquered sin and death, but that you commissioned your disciples to tell others. Thank you for keeping your promise to send the Holy Spirit to them and also to us. Spirit of the living God, we ask you to set up opportunities for us to keep sharing the love and good news of Jesus with the people where we live and work and play. Please help us to treat all people with the love of Jesus and give us the right words to point others to him so they too can come in on his restoration plan. And the people of God said, Amen. I invite you to sing for our next song.